Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Cam.
And this is the Homebrew Plus Two episode because two of us understood the assignment.
And I'm assuming Warren ran out of Saisons.
I have Saison, but you've tasted it.
There you go. So you have no more new ones. And I still don't brew. Well, hello.
You bought all that gear and you still haven't brewed.
Whoopsie. Oh, yeah, babies will do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have been told I am an employee of this company that doesn't get paid. So I'm part of the brew team at Barnall Brewing now. Thank you, Gary.
Oh, you're an intern.
Yes. I get shipped around. But the beer that actually Colin brewed, I'm going to assume, is a blueberry beret.
Blueberry?
Blueberry beret Blennerwise.
Oh.
Coming in at 4.8%, and it's in a crowler, but it was just canned on the 29th, which was just a couple days
now,
ago.
Now, do we know if this is an actual Berliner Weiss or just a kettle sour?
I'm gonna assume nothing. I don't want to upset anybody. I like all the glasses to stay intact during this podcast, gentlemen.
And no drinks shall be spilt on any shirts.
No.
So I'm assuming this is pretty similar to their cherry sour, but it's a blueberry version.
Ooh, and I can see from the can it's got a wicked color. It didn't turn gray.
Oh
yeah, that looks good.
Beautiful color. Oh my lord. Oh,
that's
pointful. That's not just a bit of blueberry.
Typical crowler. Like it's spilling blueberry all over the place.
Oh yeah, it's a wee bit messy.
Holy
it's a
mackerel.
Wee bit messy.
That looks like it's half blueberry juice.
Oh,
it is so like deep reddish purple.
Purpley, yeah, deep head. Purple. It looks like what you'd expect when you squish a blueberry.
Deep
it looks
purple.
Like blueberry juice. I didn't expect it to be that dark.
Well, I honestly asked Gary about it last night before when we were texting back and forth, and he said to me, the color turned out great,
it's
better
beautiful.
Than we could have imagined. I was like, well, yeah, sometimes it goes gray or
not
whatever,
even,
but
bit.
Not
now,
even
the difference,
close.
The reason it goes gray has to do with the pH. If the pH is too high, it goes gray. So with a sour, the pH is quite low, which keeps it that red-purple color, which is absolutely gorgeous. I'm guessing he spent way too much on fruit making this beer.
Well, I know he was down when picking up more fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did the BMO half marathon too as well.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Ripped that down.
On Facebook,
Almost got in a fight with a bear and still had time to drop off this beer to me.
Yeah, he had a bear in his backyard. Or
yeah,
something.
He missed his like bus to the
oh,
run.
Yeah, he had to get an Uber or some shit.
He'd drive himself because the bear was like eating the garbage.
This
looks like a purpley pink hazy IPA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It looks like if you've ever had Sunkist raspberry juice.
Dude, I was just going to say raspberry juice.
Yeah.
It's that
God.
Exact
two
color.
Two guys with kids.
I wouldn't even drink it, but I was just like, it reminds me of like raspberry puree, like it, but it doesn't taste like it if you...
Oh my God.
Well, the nose is just
nose
like
is pretty.
It's delicious.
Mild.
It's subdued. Nothing coming off crazy, but you get a little bit of a sweet
hint of maybe blueberry.
Yeah, you get
hint
a little fruitiness.
Fruitiness. That's it. The nose is not going to win any awards.
Mm-mm.
But the mouth.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Put
this in a smoothie machine.
It's so
now.
Tasty.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this would go good in a Slurpee machine for sure.
So I do have a blurb.
God
and,
dang, that's good.
And if you can read. I'll read it.
Sure, I'll
you're
read
the
it.
Intern.
No.
Yeah,
but
you're
if,
the intern.
If you're listening and you know Gary, I read this text message in his voice last night. So the blueberry Berliner Weisser.
You want to try that again?
No. So this is the
beret?
Good part.
Is that what it is?
That's what I'm trying. That's
berry,
what I was going
beret.
For.
Blueberry beret.
Thank you, guys. Edit that.
Now I got to put.
Yeah.
Okay, so spring has sprung and the fruit beer season has begun. We're starting it off with a blueberry light, a beautifully light tart blueberry sour, best enjoyed in the sun. So that was the little write-up that was sent with
And I mean
me being an employee.
It's got definitely a nice blueberry, a little tiny bit of tartness. It's not super sour. This is not going to give you heartburn at all.
Blueberry has a tartness anyways.
Yeah.
And then it's working well together because you're getting the tart from the sour beer, but the tartness from the blueberry is just as tart, maybe even more so than the beer. It's a beautiful blend.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this Imperial Berliner Weiss. Yeah. What was it, 4.8?
4.8, almost at coming in at 5, but it is crazy. This is a juice, man.
Yeah.
It won't give you the heartburn. I could crush this whole crawler myself. Right.
On a hot patio, you could crush one of these no problem.
Or a beach.
This is a pool beer. This is you're in the floaty, in the pool.
Oh.
Ooh. Crack the crawler and you're not going
float in the river.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, Gary, cover your ears. If you just walk not that far from the brewery and go down to the beach and just hide the fact you're drinking a beer, this would go really well with the beer in Okanagan Lake.
They haven't got any designated drinking places in the parks there yet?
Not in Kelowna, no.
They need to get their act together.
We're still waiting for a sponsor from Yeti. So, Yeti, we're looking for it.
Or what was it? Trinkin'?
Yeah.
We'll disguise them and put them in our Vente cups.
That works too.
Holy shit, this is good.
It's delicious.
It's really good. It's really good.
Do we have to try my homebrew with
this? I swear this is half blueberry juice, half beer.
Oh, yeah.
It's
crazy.
Then it was probably like a 9% beer.
Right? Oh, Jesus. Probably was.
Well, if it's that much blueberry, right?
Oh, no, I know. I was thinking, Jesus.
Man, that's good.
Yeah, I'm very happy that we did this episode, and he just happened to be down at this time.
Thanks, Gary.
Gary has great timing.
Yeah,
we're just going to call him Great Timing Gary from now on.
and also
GTG.
Yeah,
good to go. Great work, Colin.
Colin's well killing it out there, man. For being such a young dude, he's so knowledgeable, and like even when I did the brew with him and Karen at Locality, he was just like keener in the knowledge he was talking about. Like he's just a sponge.
The passion is real with him. You can tell that like it's not just a job for him.
Yeah.
I always know then like people are pretty good at brewing when they don't have an Instagram account that they use a lot. They're too busy.
I'm a really good brewer then.
Generally good brewers don't have to tell you how good they are.
Well, that too. Why do you think I never say anything? So anyways, back to the beer I helped brew.
Yeah, this is nice. It's a sour without being like ridiculously tart, and you're not getting any of those kind of vinegar overtones or any kind of burn or anything like that.
You know, 5-10 years ago when I had a stronger stomach, I loved like Old Cascade Barrel Works or whatever they're called out of Portland that just like it stripped the enamel off your teeth. But as I've gotten older, my stomach can't take those anymore. Yeah. So I really appreciate these ones that are a hint of sour.
Well, this one's nice. It's still tart. It still gets you at the back of the side of your tongues there. It still kind of makes you pucker, right?
Not pucker, but
you almost
it's there.
Can't tell there's alcohol in it, though.
You can't. No, it tastes like juice.
Yeah.
It really does, just tart juice.
Oh, yeah, you can guzzle one of these back, no problem.
Yeah,
well, mine's already gone, and I poured a pretty big glass.
That's awesome.
Thank God for buses.
Yes, especially second show.
So doing a homebrew show again. I haven't brewed in the last, 3 months or whatever, but the beer I do have on hand is the Saison, but I'm pretty sure you guys have already tried it.
A couple times at least, yeah.
Yeah, so I had a can in my fridge of this beer I was just drinking on the island a couple days ago. This is the Dog Mountain Brewing Stand and Be True West Coast Hazy IPA. It's a 6.2%, 55 IBU. And this was the one that they did for their Pink Boots collaboration brew day. So this uses the Yakima Chief Pink Boots blend, and it was blended by one of the owners, Robin, and a lot of the female crew at Dog Mountain. The write-up here says, this juicy hazy IPA is the product of a Pink Boots collaboration brew and was brewed by a team of women at Dog Mountain Brewing for International Women's Day. Partial proceeds will go to support women in the fermented beverage and alcoholic beverage industries. This special hop blend was designed by 37 different Pink Boot Society chapters and Yakima Chief hops. You can expect a citrusy, floral, berry, and peachy IPA.
Sounds like a lovely hop combo.
So the thing I liked about this beer was, unlike some, I mean, this is funny because it's a West Coast hazy, which is, I mean, this is a hybrid. Clearly, it's a combination of a West Coast and an East Coast style IPA. But that aside, the other reason I really like this is it's not wicked all up in your face, hop burn craziness like some hazy IPAs. This is super drinkable and nicely balanced, quite delicious. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, why don't we crack this bitch open then?
Oh, pass me some rinse water, please.
So this is the one brewery in Port Alberni I haven't been to yet. I've been to all the rest, but this is on my hit list. I'll be going there probably July or August.
Okay, well, we look forward to the Pacific Beer Chat TV episode.
Yes, yes.
Well, we do have friends up there now that we have officially Zoomed with.
Yes.
And they're part of Team 200, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you should be treated well with a nice little tour.
I'll try to arrange it so that Andy and Robin are there when I go by. I think they're out of the province right now at the moment.
Nice for them.
Well, I've made it there twice when I was working out there.
Beautiful.
Maybe even three times.
Damn.
But
jelly.
Well worth a visit for sure.
Yeah.
And I think all the times I was there, they were around, but I didn't really have time to do the whole, hey,
like, right, right. Yeah.
I was on lunch break, basically, so yeah. I was like, yeah, I'll get, you know, pulled pork sandwich or doner and maybe a beer.
No one heard that. Ooh. Yeah. So it's not like the murky, hazy IPA. It's definitely like the wheat beer style haze.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like the haze is coming from all the hops, right?
Yeah, and it's got a nice little white head.
Yeah, nothing too serious. I mean,
a nice, like, fruity nose. Kind of a semi-sweet nose.
Fruity, you get the hops in there a little bit.
You get the hops definitely a little bit. You get the fruitiness. A little dank, like a little
citrus.
Getting that stone fruit.
I was going to say stone fruit, definitely. But I've already sipped it, and it's fucking pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'd call this a hazy IPA for me. Like, this is a hazy pale.
That's why I said pale, because to me it wasn't an IPA. It was more subdued, but and it does finish on the bitter side.
Yeah, and that's not a hit on the beer at all because it's delicious. No,
it's just so easy to drink.
The alcohol content is higher than what you'd find in a pale ale. Your pale ale is like 5.5 tops, right? So this is hitting 6.2.
Good point. Yeah, good point.
So maybe that's why they called it the flavor profile closer to pale ale, but booze-wise, you don't taste it, but it is higher percentage.
No, it's nice. Nice, like, stone fruit. It's fruity. It's a little bit of bitterness in there, not much.
Yeah, but it's easy to drink, man.
Yeah.
That's why I liked
this. Well balanced.
It just went down so nice sitting on the beach, looking at the ocean.
Well, the can art's pretty cool, too, here. I'm just looking at it, and it is the Pink Boots brew, but they have, like, a woman standing on the beach.
A silhouette.
Yeah, a silhouette with her hair blowing, one arm down and the other, like, basically, like, straight up empowerment, like, fist in the air. And it's just, like, a gorgeous orangey red, like, sunset with the waves rolling in.
Yep.
It's really cool looking. And then
not at all sexualized, which is
right
on point for Pink Boy, Pink Boots beer.
Yeah, the last thing you need is a bikini model on the label. Yeah,
that would be a little tone deaf,
Yeah, but I probably, his wife was probably pretty involved, right?
Yes, she actually did the brew that day and led all the women, so as far as I understand, Andy was not involved in any way.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just has to sell it.
Yeah. It was a couple of years back, I was invited to a Pink Brews event, and I couldn't make it, but I was still kind of like, I don't know if I want to be there per se, like,
right?
I bring a microphone and like, here, use this, but
right.
I was like, I don't need to be there.
Yeah, there was a local one down here that I read about, and it was funny because the majority of the participants were male, and I'm like, well, what? That doesn't make much sense to me. But okay, whatever.
I mean, if your head brewer is male, that can be like the male there, right? Like, yeah, that's about what it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just me.
But I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's good that breweries are recognizing their female staff and trying to empower them and move them forward into the business, right?
Well, honestly, I fucking think that most of the fucking women out there in this industry are fucking killing it too. Everyone that I've met is just fucking amazing beers coming out, super knowledgeable, super nice.
Yeah.
And even if they're not like the brewers, like the backhouse F and sales teams are. They're killing it nowadays, man. It's just this ain't a dude's industry anymore.
Well, it's funny because if you look at the science behind it, women in most cases not true for every single individual, but in general, women have better taste buds than men do. So if you go to most wineries,
not my wife.
If you go to most wineries, the people that are doing the blends and all that are usually women because they have better tongues. So it, in my mind, it makes perfect sense to have female brewers in there doing their thing because they can taste the beers and steer the recipe in the right direction, maybe better than some males, right?
Well, back in the day, brewing was a women's profession, right?
Yeah. Brewsters?
Definitely.
Yeah, us asshole men take over.
Well, that became with industrialization, right? As soon as they industrialized it, then it's like, oh, the women can't come into the factory. Yeah. This is men's work here.
Right? We can make money on this. Holy shit.
We're doing serious work here.
Well, I'm going to turn it around from that, but back to Pink Boots and this amazing beer.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. And it's like
fantastic beer.
I have been pulling out some berry notes in the past couple sips as well. Mm-hmm. It's like the tropical citrus, a little berries.
Well, it's that hot blend. It's taking you in so many different directions, right?
Yeah, it's pulling you.
It's lovely.
I'm very curious to, like, what hops are in that hop blend.
If it's anything like some of those other blends they make, there could be 12 or more hop varieties in there, right? And I think it changes from year to year
as
well.
It does, yeah.
Well, I bet you if you go to their website, it'll list what's in it.
And we could probably take guesses because it's all Yakima Chief hops.
Right.
I'm just trying to pick it up here, see if I can figure it out.
Mm. Yeah.
This is 2021, so that's probably not the right one.
No, that'd be last year's. But yeah, Armin.
Yeah, I only found the 2021 one here.
And you might be able to buy it even in homebrew sizes.
That's weird that that's the Yakima Chief's website, not a 2021.
Well, Dog Mountain Brewing was a good one.
Yeah.
Straight out of Port
Alberni.
They're
killing it, man. They're killing it.
Never had a bad beer from them.
Yeah.
And this is why it was called Homebrew Plus Two. So the plus two is done, and now we're going to get a pop in over here with Cam and Mike's Homebrew.
Yeah.
So what are we diving into first, gentlemen?
So we're going to start with Cam's beer because it's under, like, 8.
Yeah, it is. Bang on 5%.
Woohoo! Table beer.
Remember last homebrew episode?
That growler is really cool, too.
Yes, this is...
Fieldhouse.
Fieldhouse, yes.
It's a weird little handle. I like it.
Yeah. It's a different shape.
Italian made. It was one of those ones that it was either if you were on the founders member or founders club, or I think at their anniversary they had them on sale, and I picked one up at the anniversary because I was too broke to be one of their founders.
That shit's expensive as fuck, yo.
Yeah, $500.
That's the ravioli, or is that the rigatoni?
But I mean, you got a $500 gift card plus a bunch of merch and stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was basically a good way to get a cash injection,
right?
Yeah,
right.
So. I did the same thing with Steel and Oak back in the day when they opened up. I think it was $500, but yeah, you got $500 in cash, in gift cards, and other stuff.
Right. Nice.
But yeah, so last homebrew episode, I said I was sitting on a bunch of Cascade.
Mm.
And I wanted to try to make a dark beer.
Yeah.
So this is my first version of a Cascadian dark ale or a black rye ale.
Really?
not quite what I wanted it to be, but I'm still happy with how it turned out.
It's not, nice.
Not everything I wanted it to be, but
that's home brewing.
It's a good base to start with. So.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So what did you name it then? Nihilus Brewing's what?
I actually haven't given it a name yet. I have not given it a name yet because it's not
there yet.
It's not the final recipe yet. So
Well, then name it something stupid like Cam.
This is the people equal shit.
All right, pop that bitch.
It's a good song.
Oh!
Ooh, that was, oh, there she goes.
Easy does it. Easy does it.
Thank goodness that it's we lively. Have some tablecloths down made of plastic.
Yeah, the picnic tablecloths are doing their job.
Clutch.
Oh, well, hey, that is well carbonated.
Is that bottle conditioned?
No.
It's purged and then filled.
It might be a little bit bottle conditioned.
Well, I filled it last night, so.
Okay. So I couldn't have done too much.
That was very lively.
When you gave me a bottle of this, and when I cracked it, it did pop that like hard, but I didn't get like foam coming out as much as that.
Yeah. That was a while ago, a month almost.
No, not that long ago.
No, a couple of weeks.
Yeah, probably 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So yeah, it was about that.
So you've already had the preview.
Yes, I have. Yes, I am. Well known in the industry.
I thought you were going to say you're well known with the RCMP.
I've met a few of them.
I poured mine a little too hard. I got a big head on mine.
Oh, yeah, and that head sticks around.
Yeah, I got a bit of a head on mine too, unfortunately.
I love head, but I didn't pour mine a big one.
This is dark, but it's lighter than I would expect a stout to be. It looks like a
porter. Oh, no, this isn't a stout. Right? Yeah, this is a dark. What did you say this was?
I'm calling it a black rye ale.
Okay, yeah, so this is like the lighter end of a porter. It's almost like rye a in super Schwartz dark beer? Brown.
Yeah. A Schwartz beer or something?
So there's only about 5% black malt in it.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't get any darker rye malt.
It's funny because I'm not getting really any roast in the aroma or anything to match the color. It's funny.
Yeah, which is one of the things strange. That I want to do with it. Yeah.
You want some roast?
Originally, I wanted more of a black rye or like a darker rye.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get any... I could get rye malt from my local homebrew supply, but they didn't have anything in a darker malt for a rye.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, I'll see if I can get that flavor profile with the rye and try to figure out how much I want to add. So I went a little lighter than I wanted to on the rye as well because I didn't want a stuck mash.
Yeah. You don't want to go higher than about 15%, right?
Yeah, 20% so we're about 10% rye,
uh-huh.
5% black malt.
Okay.
And then the rest is two row.
Okay.
With about, I don't know, 2.5% of chit malt.
Okay.
For head retention.
Wow.
Holy chit.
Well, it's definitely got some head retention and some lacing. There's no issue there.
I forgot that rye also has a decent amount of protein in it. So I probably didn't have to add the chit malt.
Right.
Well,
so the head sticks around like you would not believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's funny because at first I was just getting like that really yeasty, grainy kind of, you know, beer kind of aromas. But now that it's starting to, the head's dying down a bit, now I'm starting to pick up a little of that roast in the background as well.
Yeah. I get molasses too and a little bit in there.
Got a real fruity, yeasty, light kind of
thing. It's heavier. Maybe it's more of like a licorice-y thing.
The other thing too is... If I rebrew this and when I would probably use more of an English ale yeast or even just a US 05.
Yeah, this is a little clean.
What do you think?
Kvik. Yeah, it's a little clean. Kvik. It doesn't have a lot of character.
You got to use what you got on hand.
Yeah, and the flavor, there's not really any esters or anything. It's super clean. It does finish with a little bit of that chocolatey roast, though.
It seemed like it fermented really well, though, which is kvik.
Yeah.
It fermented out.
It's super dry.
Yeah.
Which I like about it, actually. And then it's just all cascade.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, just one hop, eh?
Yep.
There's definitely...
Some in the boil, some in the whirlpool.
Yeah, definitely some rice spice. Cascade. Definitely some rye spice in there. Definitely
that helps with the dryness, too.
Yeah, the rye, I think, helps keep it a little more interesting. I think without the rye, the Kvik would have just made it too boring.
How long have you had this keg now, buddy?
I literally poured this and then filled a pint glass about that much.
So you tapped it.
So this is the end of that keg.
I was kind of feeling that because I feel like the time you poured it for me and I had it
it's dried out a lot,
but it's lost a little bit of the flavoring of
Yeah, you got a lot more of the cascade.
And there was like a little more. I don't know, like the. Like a maltiness to it too, bitterness. It's like it's kind of subdued a bit, not in a bad way at all. But it's just crazy to see how like a week and a half will change shit.
Yeah,
wow,
gnarly.
I like it.
I do too. Yeah. I crush this shit.
It's a work in progress, but I'm happy with where we started.
Yeah, no, for sure. I would like some more roast in it myself. Yeah, but yeah.
See, it's subdued though. I swear it was roastier last time.
Yeah,
I'm thinking maybe a little bit of that pale chocolate malt.
Yeah.
Do you remember what malts you put in it? Otherwise, or is that it?
Oh, it's just
chip malt,
two row
base malt.
Yeah, it's mainly two row. And then black malt, rye, and chit malt. Mm-hmm. And next time I would cut the chit completely.
You better cut the chit.
Cut the chit out, man.
Go a little heavier on the rye, I think. Yeah. Maybe bump up to 15% rye. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then cut back the two row and add in like a pale chocolate or, you know, something that's got a little more of that roast. I want more of a coffee and like robust.
Yeah, that light chocolate would do that.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm gearing this towards with the next version, I think. Yes.
You should get like the rye milled separately. You mill your own, but layer it, you know. Malt, rye. Malt, rye. So it doesn't get too stuck. Yeah. I don't know if it would actually help, but still.
I have rice hulls.
That definitely helps.
I've never actually used rice hulls because I've actually...
Rice hulls
the only time I've ever actually homebrewed with rye was a... all grain kit from Brooklyn Brew Shop.
Oh, yeah.
So it was probably perfectly balanced so that it wouldn't fuck up.
Yeah.
But other than that.
I can give you a recipe that you'll need hulls for.
Your old multi-grain saison?
Yeah.
More rice hulls than grain?
No. You got to be careful with the rice hulls, too, because even too much rice hulls can cause a problem, too.
Of course they can.
You don't want to use more than 10% or something rice hulls, or else it'll cause... problems the other way.
I haven't talked to Evan Doan in years now, and I want to find him because I'd love to homebrew with him and learn all of the details of how to use rye without fucking up. Because every beer he made had rye.
That multigrain beer I made, it had 1/3 rye, 1/3 wheat, 1/3 barley. That is a hell of a beer to brew commercially.
Oh, God,
I've never heard this story.
I didn't have any problems with it except for at Fomer's. They have a weird-shaped mash tun. Everywhere else I brewed it, no issues.
All right, man. Well,
yeah, because that was on get rid of that, then.
That'll tell you if your mash tun's up to snuff or not.
That was on tap at Old Abbey.
Some rye in there?
Yeah, Old Abbey, Parallel 49, and...
All right, Mike. You've got some nice, light, easy drinking beers, I'm sure.
Yes. Super light. No, that'll be coming as it gets hotter and I have a really fucking hot house and I have to use Kvik because I won't be able to use any other yeast. But no, this is a clone of a beer that I used to hate and then I loved and then the brewery closed.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a... blast from the past for you BC craft beer fans.
Yes. So
it's also an award-winning beer you were trying to
It's clone. Won a lot. No, mine has not.
Right.
The proper beer has won a lot of awards. People that know local beer here would know Thomas Batty, who is now at Smuggler's Trail. Back in the day, he was the head brewer at Coal Harbor Brewing.
Yes.
And you might have heard of this beer called Smoke and Mirrors that had guns on it and stuff on the cans. So Warren was wonderful and scaled this recipe down because I was given the recipe for the full-size batch. And I'm on a 5-gallon system, not on a billion-liter system.
Right.
So
Yeah, so I took the commercial recipe and I scaled it down to the homebrew size.
Yeah, and I had to swap out some grains because they use very specific grains from like Germany and this and that.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting that at a homebrew shop, and I'm not brewing at a big enough scale to get bags of grain brought in.
Right.
So it's not exactly what it was supposed to be. I've been enjoying the shit out of it. I'm almost out of bottles already.
Really?
Nice. I have noticed.
It's always a good sign.
Some of my bottles are not consistent. Some of the bottles are a lot less smoky than others, which is odd.
That is odd.
I don't understand why.
Sounds like a minor infection, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. But they've still been really tasty. So we'll see what happens here.
That's kind of weird.
Woo!
Pop it like it's hot.
That is
That sounds like carbonation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a dark one.
So this is a 4 kilograms of. Let me fill my glass first.
Wow!
I already took the photo, Warren. It was of you.
Yes. Thick tan head. Thick rocky tan head.
So this has got
very dark.
4 kilograms of pale malt, 2-row.
Oh.
3.2 kilograms of smoked malt, 1 kilogram of Crystal 60, 0.5 kilograms of chocolate malt, 0.2 of Special Belgium, and then 1 kilogram of heavy peated malt.
Wow.
And then it's a little bit of Magnum and then some Willamette hops.
That is an aroma I haven't experienced in a while.
Yeah, I can smell the peated right off the bat.
Yeah.
There's a little beechwood smoked backing it up, I think.
Or something smoky backing it up.
And it's funny because I used to fucking rally against this style of beer.
It's a funny style, and it's one of those styles that really polarizes people.
Yes.
I've always been a fan of Rauchbier myself, so.
I was a late bloomer.
Yeah, no, to me, I've always appreciated, but. It is a strong flavor, and it does have a place. I mean, it's not something you can pound after you've mowed the lawn and then have several of. I mean, that's just not what it is. But if it's a nice, say, a rainy, cold day, and you're sitting in front of the fireplace sipping on a beer, this is absolutely perfect for that.
Let's also say it's 8.1% alcohol.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is almost on par with the original brew.
So, to me, it doesn't smell as smoky as the Smoke and Mirrors was.
Yeah.
No, but it's there. I distinctly remember sitting at a Tap and Barrel in Olympic Village and make my way down the beer list and going, oh, Smoke and Mirrors, I haven't tried that one. And then,
bam!
First, like the sniff, and like, oh, well, that's the smoke.
So the flavors aren't too far off.
Where are the mirrors?
The flavor's not too far off. This is fairly similar.
So I had never tried Smoke and Mirrors, so this is like all new to me.
So it's definitely peaty and smoky.
Yeah.
It's definitely has the peat element.
And it's got that rich, roasty component.
Almost like a dark fruit thing going on in there. A little bit of caramel or something.
There's a little. I'm getting a nice dark fruit flavor like on the back end after I'm finished swallowing.
Yep.
Almost a little licorice-y. Like
a little
teeny tininess.
Like I said, I've actually been enjoying the shit out of this. It's probably not exactly what it should be.
I think this might be a little too bitter compared to the Smoke and Mirrors. I think
definitely could be.
Might have to cut back a bit on the hops.
And then push up on the peat or the smoked?
Yeah, add a little of the smoked.
Because I would love to actually rebrew this. And
Yeah, some small tweaks will get it closer.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping for.
It's pretty close, though.
It's pretty damn close.
Well, the crazy thing is, though... Do you guys remember how close it could be? When was the last time you actually had one?
Well, when did they close, right? That's the problem, unfortunately, yeah.
All right, so we're actually going to put a commercial in the middle of this. It's going to be searching for Evan Doan. Where are you? We've lost you. We need you to show us this recipe.
This isn't Evan Doan's recipe.
Okay, well. This is Thomas. I can find him.
Yeah,
we can find him. I brewed with him last month.
He gave me this recipe. Yeah.
Okay, well.
I guess somebody hasn't been paying attention.
No, I was, but you were talking about Evan Doan.
Evan Doan was the rye. We wanted to talk to Evan Doan about rye.
I get 3 hours of sleep, guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I mean, Evan was the king. He had the rye IPA, he had the rye pale.
The rye stout.
I think he even had a rye double IPA at one point.
The rye stout. Oh, I miss it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, no, like, That's what I said. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's probably right where it should be yet, but it's also super drinkable.
It's really close. Really close.
So, I as someone that, like, despised smoked beers for so long, it's like everyone says, you know, you'll start liking lagers. Fuck no, I won't. But I'll start liking smoked beers. Dude, you know?
Beer is a journey, right? Everyone's taste buds take them on a different journey. And, I mean, with me, the first beers I fell in love with were some of the dark, rich, heavy beers coming out of England and stuff. You know, porters
even
and
Guinness
stouts
was one of the ones that really got me back in the day. Yeah,
so those were sort of my gateways. Those were what got me into craft beer. And then after that, it moved towards IPAs and all that crazy stuff. And then over the years, I started to appreciate pale ales as a category. And over the years, your tastes change, right?
Oh, so yeah.
I've been through my pale ales. I've been through I'm almost through my Saison stage.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. You're in the middle of your Saison stage.
I used to hate fucking sours, and now I was like, hook them up.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll them all.
I'm happy to say that my first smoked beer doesn't taste like shit.
No, it doesn't.
It tastes like an ashtray.
At least to me, you know.
No, it doesn't at all, Mike,
but
for sure.
An ashtray in a good way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I was worried about it, really. I was, because it's a beer that I had never tried to make
before.
Yeah, but
you had a decent recipe.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter if you have a good recipe. It's still going, let's not fuck this up.
Right? As long as you hit your times and temperatures.
Yeah, I hit my times and temperatures, and I'm you know.
Don't boil over your deck.
Right?
I had to be really careful with doing, now that I'm no longer on a stovetop and I'm on an actual burner on the deck. I have to be really careful about the boil over because as soon as you add hops or any kind of addition, it just wants to fucking explode out of your kettle.
So you have the hose ready.
Yeah. Just spray it down.
I don't have a hose because I'm on a deck. So
I'll give you a tip then.
Spray bottle.
I was going to say, I'll give you a fucking stupid tip from something I do commercially when you have things, but you can temp it like with water and see where the boil's at. And then when that dial is, just put a mark on there so you know this is 120, this is 150.
Well, no, I actually have my kettle has a thermometer on it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about on your flame. So you know where to adjust it to.
Oh, on the actual knob.
Yeah, on the actual knob, because I do little things like that at work that helps me. I know where the valve's at or whatever.
Well, the problem is it also is adjusting the airflow to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a bit of a balancing game.
It's literally when you add in anything like hops that changes the...
Sprinkle them in slowly.
Yeah, I've learned that too.
And then keep a spray bottle of water on
that. Yeah, I have been doing that too, because
but the other thing you can do is you can put a spoon across the top of your kettle.
No, a wooden
and when
spoon.
The foam hits it. Yeah, and then when the foam hits it, it'll die back
down. Well, I've got a you know, quote-unquote mash paddle. It's just like a huge wooden spoon that I bought from...
leave that over the top of your sex dungeon. It shouldn't boil over.
No.
Wow.
What a wooden paddle joke. It had to be said.
Yeah, if you leave that across the top of the kettle,
yeah,
it shouldn't boil over, theoretically. When the foam hits it, it'll knock it down.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Old kitchen
try
trick.
That, too, because I always have it out there.
I did that on my craft dinner tonight, guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You gotta boil some craft dinner for your kids. Make sure the wooden spoon's on top. Can you walk away and yell at them?
It's funny, too, you know, now that I have my kettle is on my burner. Kettle's on my burner. Then I have a table to have my mash tun on. And then
you had almost like a three-tier setup.
I got a three-tier setup here with like the sparge water in another one. It's on a recycling bin that I've got. It's such a sketchy system, but it works.
Some people have brew towers or brew trees for that, but no. You just stack
when
stuff.
You live in a condo, it's 1,000 square feet.
Right.
And you already have a lot of shit. if I get that, where do I hide it? I can't.
Yeah. 1,000 square feet. That's huge, man. Mine's only 882.
It's not really. I got a lot of shit. I like to hike and backpack and camp.
I got a lot of shit, too. They're called fucking kids.
You like to hike and back? You need to move over to where I'm going.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
There's a ferry involved to get to a lot of the good stuff.
But once you're there, you don't have to take
the
ferry.
Well, if that fucking happens, me and Cam are starting a new podcast. And I'm taking my followers.
Welcome to the Mainland Brew Show.
No. I'm never going to be moving to the island. I would move to the Kootenays before the island.
I think we just call it Cam and Jord Get Smashed.
Yeah.
So Kevin and Jordan need a break from their kids podcast. Yeah.
It'd just be like a bunch of little, like an acronym or something, though.
So if anyone's listening and they haven't picked up on it in the past few episodes, I am going to be moving over to the Vancouver Island this summer.
Good riddance.
And I'll be hitting up a ton of breweries over there to do episodes so you guys can get caught up with what's going on over there.
It'll be interesting trying to get you into some of the episodes we do on Zoom and stuff. We'll have to try to make it work.
At all.
Oh, no, it'll be fine. We'll spend a little bit of money sending them beers here and there just to, to make him feel like we still like them. But, you know, we can phase him out soon. He's getting old. He'll get Alzheimer's soon.
Oh, probably. Probably. You guys will send me a message.
Oh, no. But we'll still do our – we'll still plan our fucking epic – now that festivals are coming out, we're going to plan some epic traveling together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to do some traveling.
Beers,
yeah.
Bros, and podcasting. Yeah. And also more beers.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we crack into the next one, Mike? I think
definitely gonna need a rinse out because you don't want the smoke for this beer.
Mm.
No smoke.
Good point.
I tried a little half and half with my homebrew, and all I can taste is smoke and beer.
All right.
Nice.
I did a good job then.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
This is my
tally.
Ukrainian Imperial Stout recipe. It's been morphing off of originally what Cam gave me. I did some Googling, looking at other recipes, and have played with it a little bit.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this goes.
It's as black as night.
He made it all while hating Putin.
As boozy as he can make it.
Yeah. Fuck Putin.
Yeah.
So Putin is a dick.
This is black like octopus ink, and thick as molasses, and as boozy as vodka.
I don't have the proper
ABV. Have you tried it yet?
Nope.
No. I think it was 11.3%.
Right? That's what I said.
I want to call it a tan head, but it's almost darker than tan.
It's darker than tan. It's
not a huge head, but it's really rocky.
That's like light brown.
It's a motor oil head.
Oh, it's light brown.
It's like golden sugar.
Caramel. Yeah.
So the actual malt bill is
dark as hell.
7.7 kilograms of two row.
There's not even red
hair. Half kilogram of roasted barley, point four kilograms of flaked oats, 0.2 kilograms of special Belgium, 0.5 of black malt, 0.9 of pale chocolate.
This is...
So it's 10.2 kilograms of malt overall.
I'm getting that super rich, roasty, boozy, dry fruit.
Umami kind of thing going
umami,
on.
Umami, licorice, soy sauce, all that. Yeah.
That's just on the aroma.
But there's a fucking shit ton going on here. Yeah. Like, I'm picking up the licorice, the umami... Roastiness,
fruitiness, booziness.
It's Nottingham yeast.
Wow.
What was the what were the hops again here?
Nottingham.
Columbus.
The yeast you use when you need it to last past 10%.
Exactly.
Wow.
And I've rebrewed this recipe with adjuncts coming up. We'll see what happens.
Like sugar and
So lactose, cocoa powder.
Oh.
And I'm making a roasted macadamia nut tincture right now with vodka that will be going into it.
So, we'll see.
Nice.
Wow.
Whoa. Whoa. That coats the tongue.
It does, yes.
Woo! Yeah, that
is sticky.
I can taste the booze a little bit now.
Yeah. It is 11.3, I think.
You do get the boozy, but
that's easy at 11, though. It tastes like 8 or 9.
The umami like blends well with that alcohol.
I've been pretty lucky so far with my brewing that I've been able to hide the booze pretty well.
Usually that's more from the slow fermentation, right? If the fermentation is too fast, then you'll get all the fusels and stuff, right?
Well, this one fucking fermented pretty hard, pretty fast. My second batch of this with all the adjuncts, I actually thought it stalled out because it fermented without so any. Well, it didn't no vigor. Like,
oh yeah,
this one blew out like the hose the bucket. Right. They went from like that clear sanitary water. What am I using again? Star sand water to fucking black as night.
Yeah.
Then my next batch of this, none of it even got up to the top of the bung.
Did you have more headspace in this one?
No.
Really?
No, but I think it was maybe just the cocoa powder. I don't know what that's weird. Cocoa powder and lactose are the only differences.
Yeah, I can see them providing more nucleation points.
Could be, yeah.
Right, so it'd foam up more.
Mm.
But this one foamed up
this
more.
This is the one.
Oh, this one.
This one fucking blew out. Strange. Every Imperial Stout until this current one.
Strange.
And the current one is sitting almost at 12% alcohol. So I don't know. Wow. This definitely has like a lot going on. Lots of umami, lots of roast.
Yeah.
Lots of like. There's a hint of like chocolate or something in there. There definitely is some licorice going on.
Yep. But you get that fruitiness.
Bitterness,
in there as well.
Fruitiness.
You know what? I'd say this is just as good as one of those high potency dark ones you brought back from Hawaii.
Nice.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this. I'm not getting any major off flavors or anything.
It's not as sweet either as some of the
other ones. No, it's nice in the finish where there's almost a little bit of bitterness in the finish.
There is bitterness in the finish, and I'm noticing a lot. I'm actually enjoying that. It's like almost a bit of chocolate is bitter to me again.
Yeah, like a dark chocolate, not a milk chocolate.
Exactly. Dark chocolate has the bitterness. Like milk chocolate's sweet and whatever, but
there's still a little of that caramel toffee thing in there.
I want that.
But
it's not as thick and syrupy as some I've had, right?
I probably will boil this again.
I was expecting you to make this a lot sweeter than it is.
Yeah.
And I actually really like that bitter finish on it.
My next one will be sweeter. I didn't put a ton of lactose in it. Like, I'm purposely baby stepping it up because I don't want it to be too sweet.
Yes.
But I want it sweeter than this, personally. And also, I think the cocoa powder addition is going to be nice.
Yeah.
I've been tasting it uncarbonated straight off, just sampling it because I'm not going to pour my sample back in because I don't want to throw the beer off.
Yeah,
smart move.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, no. Even my dumb ass knows that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, hey, I'm not brewing a bunch of like 5% lagers.
Right.
I'm not claiming I'm some great brewer, but I like the fact that I'm making beers that people like Warren will keep sipping.
Yeah, I haven't spit it out.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I've gotten past the first couple beers where there was a bunch of like particulate in it that you had to kind of chew through.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what you got teeth for.
Yeah, exactly.
It's for straining.
So far, I do. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Right?
It's like, can't you use cheesecloth like when I make weed butter?
I mean, you could.
There's steps,
could.
Man. There's steps.
So what you're saying is you're figuring this out.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, it ain't bad.
I've tasted worst homebrew from people that were doing this a lot longer than me because I've only been doing this since the pandemic.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
You do have some good friends to learn from, though, right?
True. And not me, I lean on that pretty good. It doesn't hurt when, you know, like, you start with people that know what they're doing or,
it's
like,
funny, though,
the other beer.
I think what happens when you get experience as a brewer, that experience teaches you what to do when things go sideways.
Totally.
Right? So I think as a new brewer, if you fluke out and everything happens perfectly, you hit the temperature and everything's fine, and that first brew, you could fluke out, right? Probably wouldn't happen, but it could happen.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think with experience, learning to know what happens when things go sideways is what makes a good brewer from a bad brewer.
It's the best learning experience.
Yeah.
You learning from failure is the best way to learn.
So when shit goes sideways, if you have experience with that, you know how to save it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how to make something of the day. Whereas if you're a brand new brewer, you might panic and you don't know what to do. You're not sure what to do in this situation, and it could turn into a bit of a shit show, right?
And that's why, like, the new batch of this with all the adjuncts, when I thought it was stalled, the first thing I did was message Warren, like, fuck, what do I do here? Like, it didn't at all blow up. Like, it didn't follow the, like, pattern of every other imperial.
It wasn't doing what it had done previously.
Yeah.
And I think my response to you was, there's lots of reason why that might happen. Don't sweat it.
Yeah. But also, it was just
you
like.
You did say that because it was actually in the group chat.
Yeah. But every other imperial beer that I'd done had at least risen up almost to the bung in the fermenter. So I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? Why didn't it? What's going on?
So
like,
you're saying it didn't come out the bunghole?
No, it didn't come out the bunghole.
It wasn't spewing out the bunghole.
Oh, that's a difficult time.
When I'm doing an imperial stout, I'm used to coming out the hose, right?
Oh, you hear it first.
Yeah, you did. You did. You did.
But that's homebrewing, right?
It is. Yeah,
I blow bottles. Sometimes it doesn't ferment as much as you want.
Like every home brewer has had their experience. Sure. Before I was doing it myself, when I was just homebrewing with Steve, where he was the head brewer and I was the assistant, I had a bottle blow up all over the ceiling of a well-known brewer at the time, his house, right? Steve's bottle exploded all over his wife. And she was pregnant. It was not a good scene. Similar
story.
I mean, I'm sure Warren has a story of something blowing up everywhere.
No, surprisingly enough, I don't.
Didn't you drop a car glass car by, though?
Oh, that was me.
Oh, no, somebody's got that story.
That wasn't me.
Everybody has a shit story.
No, yeah. I got rid of my class carboys before I broke one.
That's bad. I have already thrown one of mine out. I am throwing the next one out soon. I'm going to be buying another for Monster. Yeah. I have
their glass recycle.
The yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's going to be recycled, but it's going to be gone. I'm not even going to donate it to someone because they're too dangerous.
Don't use glass carboys.
They're heavy as shit, and especially they are heavy, if it's like 3 gallon, 5 gallon. Like,
yeah.
So
plus I've got the glass weight.
I have two, 3 gallon, and I'm going to have. I have one for Monster right now that's 5 or 6 gallon.
They're fantastic.
And I'm going to buy another one of them. I'm probably going to replace all my smaller ones because I like the fact that it has a huge opening, so it's easy to clean.
Yeah, so you get your hand inside the damn thing to scrub it.
Yeah.
Nothing like fisting it.
Right?
Oh, Jesus.
When you can't get your hand inside those,
you guys.
You can't get your hand inside those glass carboys, how the hell are you going to clean them? You can't scrub them.
Even my smaller, like, 3 gallon plastic carboys or that small little neck, and it's just like you can't get in there.
Yeah, so I love those for Monsters because they got the big lid that you can unscrew and you can get your whole arm inside there and scrub the thing out properly.
But don't scrub it with anything that's really like
nothing abrasive,
because it'll
microfiber
or just like a sponge.
Yeah,
because otherwise you're fucked.
They're a plastic. Yeah. You can put scratches in them, and then there's a place for bacteria to live.
Like I've been lucky. Like my for Monster. Because the mouth is quite wide, I put in my cleaner I use now?
Star Sand?
No, the more like
the pink powder?
OxyClean?
Whatever the cleaner is. PBW, yes, PBW. Oh, yeah. When I put in the PBW, I sit it for an hour or whatever.
Yep, let it soak.
Pour it out and then rinse it.
Yep.
And everything's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can get that nozzle in my shower nozzle right in there, and the pressure gets rid of everything. Yeah.
So the PBW works really nice on organic materials, especially that film that builds up. The problem with PBW is it's bloody expensive.
Yeah, it's not cheap. But Barley's
He doesn't have kids.
Barley's Homebrew does sell it in bulk. Yep. And it's not as expensive.
So what I was doing was I was using the PBW every 3 to 4 brews.
Okay.
And I was using the this other stuff, Oxy something or other. God, I wish I could remember the name of it off the top of my head. But it was a cleaner that's not as effective as PBW, but it was good enough to do the job. So I'd use that for 2 or 3. And then I would do a good PBW soak every like 4th or something like that. That
makes sense, yeah.
Just because of the price. Aosept, that's what it was called.
Okay, I'll look that up then.
And it's fairly inexpensive, right? So I was using that for most brews. And then PBW every, like I said, every 3rd or 4th, just to make sure they were, the biofilm wasn't building up.
I'm sure when you're doing an Imperial where it really vigorously ferments and leaves a huge mess on it, you'll want to use PBW probably still.
But also when you're doing those hazies where you're doing crazy hop additions, you also get that biomass on
there.
Yeah, the hop oils will stick to the surface.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
But if you got the right chemicals.
Yep.
No problemo.
What are the first 3 rules, Warren?
Sanitize. I win.
Jordan, quick on the draw.
But without sanitation, the only
rule I know about homebrewing.
It's so true, though, because without sanitation, the rest of it is a waste of time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm probably too anal with sanitation, but at the same time, I haven't had anything go wrong yet because
that'll
of
come
it.
With experience. With experience, you'll get a little more lackadaisical on it until it burns you one day. And then you'll back it up and start being a little more anal about it again.
That's one of those things. It's like if I'm going to spend $50 or $60 for an Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
Or probably $80 for an IPA.
Yeah.
I don't want to fuck it up.
No. So are you going to skimp out on $5 or $10 worth of chemicals? I don't know.
No, I'm not. Not at all, no.
Like, at a certain point, you kind of ease up and you go, you know what? It's all pre-boil. I can relax a little bit.
Yes, yes. Everything on the hot side is a non-issue. Oh, yeah.
No, hot side, I have totally stepped back on now.
Yeah, yeah, the cold side is the important.
I'm sure my mash tun probably could be cleaner than it is.
So
but
what? It gets boiled after that.
I gave up a little bit. Yeah. I make sure I give it a light PBW, but not a full PBW. And it's just
I don't think I've ever put PBW in my mash tun.
I probably will stop.
But I can tell you, even from commercial breweries, it is possible to get your kettle too clean.
Oh, okay.
If your kettle's too clean, it'll take too long to boil.
Ah.
So a lot of professional breweries are very careful about not cleaning their kettle too well.
Interesting.
Honestly, if you clean your kettle too well, that next boil is going to take longer than it should.
Fucking weird. Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
so, of course, you need to clean your kettle occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally. But, just keep in mind you don't want to go overboard.
Yeah, don't use SOS pads.
No. Exactly.
Yeah, no.
I mean, if you're doing an Imperial Stout, and you're going to an IPA, maybe do a little better cleaning job. Because you don't want that dark malt in there. Or if you're doing a smoke and mirrors, you don't want the smoke in your IPA. But otherwise, maybe step back a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Mm-hmm. Allie from R&B first told me that.
Okay.
She doesn't work there anymore. She's one of the owners at Riot Brewing now in Chimenez.
Oh, Should have
led with that.
Yeah.
But that's not when he learned it.
Great.
Fair enough.
I know, right?
Pointy boy. All right.
All right.
It's time.
We got two questions, though.
No, we don't. We have one question. But two times. All right, since it's Homebrew Plus 2, we're going to do it dirty on Warren like always. So, Warren, what was your favorite homebrew and what was your favorite number two?
Well, clearly my favorite of the two is the one that I brought with me. Dog Mountain, that Pink Boots Society brew was friggin' fantastic. I loved every second of it.
But the West Coast Hazy IPA?
Yeah, absolutely delicious. Stand and be true. However, I gotta say that Blueberry Sour was ridiculously good. Such different styles. It's a 50-50. They're both fucking brilliant.
It's a straight coin toss.
Yeah. It was hands up.
For sure.
Catch it with one or the other.
Six of one, half dozen of the other.
All right, Homebrew.
But Homebrew.
Tell me.
I think I'm going to have to go with... God damn, that's going to be difficult.
Which dark beer do you pick?
I'm kind of torn between that last Imperial Stout of Mike's and the Porter from Cam.
It was a rye something.
I think I'm going to have to go with the Porter. I think it's just a little edge nicer for me because I'm not really as much a fan on the big, giant, huge styles, right? So the Porter to me was a little more drinkable, a little more balanced maybe.
Nice. All right, since you said nice back, it's your turn, Mike. That's how I pick in this club.
For the non-homebrews, I'm probably going to go with... It's a fucking toss-up. They're both really, really good. I think I'm going to go with the IPA just because I really enjoy that pale aleness of it.
That 6.2% pale ale.
Yeah, but for me, it's not an IPA. It's definitely a pale ale, but it's hitting all the notes that I want.
So delicious.
But that's nothing against the blueberry Berliner Weiss.
Yeah, yeah. It's delicious.
It was delicious, and it wasn't too sour because I can't do a lot of sour anymore.
Yeah.
I could drink that whole growler probably and not have a problem with thumbs.
Yeah, it was less than tart for sure.
Yeah. No, it was really good, and they should be proud of that beer.
Yeah.
Very proud of that beer. It's really, really good. As for the homebrew, I always feel bad picking my own, so I'll pick Cam's. But I think out of...
There's two people here. Pick your fucking own if you want.
for me, I think it's the smoke and mirrors. I'm really enjoying that for some reason.
It's really good.
I think it's really good. It's not smoke and mirrors, but I really enjoy it.
It's close though. I think with a couple of iterations, a couple of small tweaks, you might make it there.
Yeah, I hope so.
Incredibly close.
I'd like to tweak it again, and maybe I could bring it back another time, and maybe bring Matt Barber or something over and see what he thinks too.
Be nice to get some feedback from Thomas on it too.
Thomas,
Mr. Batty.
Yeah,
I know him.
Yeah, so do I.
You're so cool.
Well, dude, I just brewed a beer with him. Jesus.
Once he gets back into country,
we'll get him back on.
And if you want to check that, if you want to check Jordan out in the brewery helping Thomas make a beer, hit up PBC TV on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's Pacific Beer Chat. All right, Cam, man, tell me why you like Mike's beer better than yours, or vice versa.
So, like I said, the plus two, it's a coin toss. I would take either one happily.
I think it's
pretty both good, and they're both so different.
Fucking put them together. Cuvée. Right? Oh. I don't.
But if you had to pick one.
Now you're thinking.
But if you had to pick one.
I mean, I'm always going to go IPA over a sour.
Of course.
But I would take either one gladly. Like, there's no wrong answer.
And they're so different beer-wise.
Definitely.
Oh, not even a fair comparison.
Really not a fair comparison. It's so just it's personal preference.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as the homebrew, I really like where Mike's going with his Russian Imperial, the last one we tried.
Yeah,
Ukrainian.
That was Ukrainian.
That was damn good.
Yellow, Cam, blue.
Cam, edit that out. I really like where Mike's going with his Ukrainian Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, with adjuncts, it's really going to sing. It's a great base. I like the bitterness that it finishes with. It's not overly sweet, but it still has that punch. So I think it's got a ton of potential. So that's why I'm picking that one.
Well, it's interesting that you picked that one, because I'm thinking that it's based on your recipe to begin
originally, with. It's definitely taken a big step away now.
There's a lot of changes.
He's been making some changes,
You guys kind of left the viewers begging for more, but no.
All right, Jordan.
I just want to quickly say that the first Imperial Stout that I brought to the episode a while back was Cam's recipe.
Right, yeah. Right.
But I think I've done two iterations since.
Yeah.
And the first one was a little bit of a step away, and this one was a huge step beyond. It was still based off of that one, but it was also based off of another one that I found sounded really interesting. So it's definitely neither beer. It might be my first recipe.
Wow.
I was clearing out the garage, and I found two House Hound swing tops, one labeled 2018, one labeled 2019.
Really?
Both Russian Imperials.
Oh, shit.
So maybe next.
How do you lose shit episode? Like that?
I think we might have a vertical tasting coming.
I would love to try those.
I have vertical tastings, like 3 years in the
one of them the is properly crown capped. The other one is just a swing top bottle.
Wow.
So
they're either going to be good or we're going to get diarrhea.
Yeah. They could be very, very interesting. But
I hope they age well, man, and didn't get oxidated or any of that.
Well, at a high percentage, they should have aged okay.
They're both, I think the 2018s
are they bottle conditioned?
11 plus.
If they're bottle conditioned, then they won't be oxidized.
2018's 11 plus. 2019 was 13.2.
Wow. Yeah, they should be just fine.
All right. Damn. All right. Well, Jordan.
Episodes.
All right, guys. So, honestly,
he's going with the bar now because he's pretty much an employee.
Well, no, I did brew it. I did brew it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, honestly, like you guys all said, it was a toss up. But I could toss down this blueberry beret, like. It's easy peasy to drink, and it's like coming in at a high percent, which you're not used to. So, it could get a little filthy, but that The hazy IPA was delicious. Even though you guys called it a pale ale,
yeah.
The alcohol percent was what scares me
about it. Yeah, the percent is IPA.
I would fucking crush that shit. Think, right? 5.5. Yeah. And the next thing I know, I'm like sleeping on someone's couch or in their backyard. In a
ditch. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I'm not a ditch diver. Come on.
Not yet. You want another fill of my Imperial Stout?
Yes.
Ditch diver.
But, I think that's a spoiler.
But for everything, like I've had cams before. I think it's a little bit of punch on The Last of Us kegging, and it was fantastic when I had it. So with that in mind, like comparing it to Mike's, I have to pick cams. I'm sorry.
No.
Like it was like lower percent when it was on point, it was on point. And luckily, he likes me more than he likes you, guys. And he gave me some.
See him more often.
Closer. Shut up, man. Let me have this. No, but it was honestly really good. And Mike's, yours was really good too. But like, I don't know. There's something about the flavors and cams I really, really enjoyed it. So I'm just going to end it with all this. Y'all suck.
Hard cut.
Honestly, like, thank you guys for sharing these beers with us that you helped brewed. Warren, I would thank you, but you fucking
I got nothing.
Shit in the bed.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm looking for a house. Don't have time to brew saisons.
Well, I got a house now. So,
saison. Saison.
I'll be setting my brewery up this summer. So this fall, I'm going to be pumping them out. So I'll have plenty to share with you.
And I would like to challenge Warren, though, before he leaves.
Oh, yeah.
To brew a style of beer that he's not comfortable brewing.
Oh. Before I leave?
Well,
yeah, get the fuck going.
Here in the apartment?
It's called Kvik.
Wow.
Well, just
hey, like, yeast.
So we can do another one of these homebrew episodes before you leave.
What kind of style would you suggest?
No, I'm not. No, no. A style that you're not comfortable brewing.
What,
I'm not
what comfortable brewing style any be, style though?
Because
West I'm Coast a new brewer. Hazy still. IPA that tastes like a pale ale.
No.
Like, I want a Warren Boyer hazy IPA.
Oh, my God.
That could be a good one. Or... Look, let's think.
I haven't even considered brewing a hazy. No, but
that's why.
Okay, that might be a good choice.
Because you are.
But then I'll be stuck with 20 liters of that shit.
No, leave it here with us. No.
You don't have to brew that much, though.
I've got
you
a can kegerator.
Brew whatever level. Whatever you want to brew. If you want to brew a gallon of it, whatever.
Oh, my God.
But because you are the most experienced home brewer in this group.
Yeah.
I am.
Every brew that I try to make is like, holy fuck, what am I doing? Cam has more experience than me. You have been homebrewing for a long time.
A long time, yeah.
So maybe it's a hazy IPA. Maybe it's not a hazy IPA, but something you're not comfortable brewing.
Hazy is way out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah. So then, let's make it a hazy.
I've spent 20 years trying to make beer that's not hazy.
Let me put this into perspective for you. You've spent 20 years brewing beer?
Yeah.
I couldn't drink 20 years ago.
Gee, thanks, Cam.
Hashtag old as fuck.
Wow.
I could drink 20 years ago, but I was pretty young.
Son of
But no, yeah. Maybe it's a hazy. Maybe it's something else. But something that you're not comfortable brewing.
All right.
We'll let you do a hazy pale ale at the least, you little bitch. I mean, you old bitch.
No, you know what?
Just brew
maybe
hazy.
Maybe that's something we could do. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be harder with you moving away. But you don't have to brew your full 5 gallon or whatever, right? No, whatever.
Yeah, you do.
But it's going to be harder when you move further away. But maybe that's something we could do, like, when we're doing these homebrew episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
Once in a while, we could challenge each other to brew something we're not fucking comfortable brewing.
No, I love that idea.
Because, you know, like...
That'll force you to, hey,
Jordan,
to get better.
Brew a beer.
Yeah. All right, Cam, brew a seltzer.
No, it's already out of his wheel. That's easy. So you just throw booze into a fucking whatever.
Oh, I thought you just dumped vodka into fucking
soda stream.
You make some Kool-Aid. You throw
no,
some
you
yeast.
Fill your sink up. You get that, what do you call it, sunlight dish soap. A little vodka. Stir it around.
No.
That's seltzers, right?
Like, every beer I brew is a little uncomfortable because I'm still pretty new.
Yeah.
Cam's been brewed a little longer.
Yeah.
But But maybe that's something we have to do, is just kind of throw a challenge out there once in a while.
I'm totally down for that.
I'm not against that in any way. And that's, I mean, before COVID, when the homebrew clubs were still very active.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just starting to sort of get back into things now. But when the homebrew clubs were very active, we'd do that on a regular basis. We would come up with a certain style.
Oh, there's theme.
And that would be our monthly contest, right? So everybody's going to brew this style, and then we're going to get together and judge them all and decide if there's a winner and all that good stuff. And that was excellent, because it would force you to get out of your comfort zone and brew something that you normally wouldn't brew, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think I'm finally comfortable with my brewing ability now to join a club, because I'm making beer that people like you, Warren, are willing to drink.
Right.
And not pour out, like, your glass is empty.
He's on the spot.
No, but... No, that is a good sign, because most people that are judges, if they don't like a beer, they're just going to pour the fucking beer out.
Absolutely.
They're just going to pour it out. Yeah. That beer is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to make sure I got to a point where people that know what they're talking about were drinking it before I join a club.
But, I mean... I think it's worth joining a club even before that.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just
oh,
to
yeah.
get that, to start to get that experience and to feel better. You can do a brew day with somebody else and watch them, just so you start to feel comfortable with the process, right?
I want
to
do that soon with all of us. But I think part of it, too, is just that I've luckily had a network of people that are pretty damn good brewers.
Which is another good reason to join a homebrew club.
Well, but I already had that little network.
Ideas off of each other. Like, hey, I'm thinking of brewing with this yeast before. Yeah. I've never used it before.
Right.
What are your experiences?
So somebody who has experience with that yeast can chime in and let you know what to expect, right?
Well, and then part of the thing is, I'm at a point now where I can take a recipe someone else has given me and make a beer that is drinkable. It's not something people would be like, nah, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a first step. There's a lot of people that make a lot of beers that people are like, no thanks.
Yeah, I'm thinking that most homebrewers at some point have dumped something down the drain.
The only beer I've dumped so far was my attempt at a freeze distilled beer. And it actually tasted really good before I freeze distilled it, and it fucking went off.
I only had one batch of beer that I've dumped that was undrinkable, and I had one other batch where half the bottles were sour. It was only lactobacillus, though, so they were still drinkable.
Yeah,
but half the bottles had lacto and half didn't, and I know how that happened. It was a bottling error. But
was probably my problem, too, with my freeze-distilled beer that I was trying to make an ice bock, but it just... didn't work for what I wanted, so I got rid of it.
Yeah.
But that was my one time.
Well, see, the problem with ice distilling is if the flavors are raunchy to begin with, then they become more concentrated.
Yeah, concentrating that flavor. Yeah.
That's the problem, is that I took off a sample just to get the original FG. I wanted to know what OG FG, and then I was going to freeze distill it to see if I could figure out what it was after.
Yeah.
And it tasted great. It tasted like a really juicy... hazy IPA,
okay,
which is not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah.
And then when it was finished, I'm like, oh, that is not what I wanted. Fuck. But it happens, right? Like, that's my one beer that I poured out.
There's always horror stories.
There's always, yeah.
You bet.
I've told mine homebrew 14 times.
Kaboom. Well,
when I moved into my place, I decided, you know what, I'm going to... test out the brew system with the new water and get a feel for everything.
That's what I'm starting to worry about going to my new place.
And I was like, oh, I'll do a Saison because Saison will go through anything.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, I don't want to just do a Saison though. So I was like, oh, I'll do a lemon Saison and zested a bunch of lemon. And I use Sriracha Ace.
Okay.
Which I'm like, oh, it's supposed to give you lemon. If you use too much though, you get dill pickle.
Oh.
And, no thanks.
I choked down a couple bottles of that because it was before I was kegging stuff. But it was just like the longer I let it sit, the more dill pickle.
Really, eh?
Oh.
Wow. It would pair nice with a potato salad, wouldn't it?
Who the fuck eats potato salad every day, though?
Not every day.
I mean, it was, at the end of the day, it was...
wow.
It was a drinkable beer, but it was very much dill. Well, it was very much like you give somebody it, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's homebrew. Like, you know,
yeah.
There's a certain flavor you get when you say,
well, usually it's that homebrew. Usually that flavor people associate with homebrew is that cidery kind of thing, right? Which, thank God, I mean, I only had that in a couple of beers I made way back when, but... yeah, once you get beyond that, then you're laughing, right? Then you're making real beer.
Well, I remember it was only about a year and a half ago that I gave a couple buddies some bottles that I filled off my keg.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah, that homebrew taste is gone.
Yeah.
And I've been brewing for almost 5 years now.
Yeah.
Like, it just... it's repetition and practice.
Yeah, as you, as you dial it in and you figure out your process and everything. Well,
just even figuring out your system that you own too.
Oh yeah,
it's a huge step.
Yeah.
So once you get to know your system, you can almost run it without even taking measurements and stuff. Yeah. Almost. You know, you get into a rhythm, right?
Sanitization.
Well,
yeah, absolutely.
Like this beer I brought tonight, I didn't weigh the greens. I just went, oh, I know my mill. If I fill the hopper, that's 5 pounds.
Right. And right.
I saw you measuring the grain, actually. You had your child in one arm, and you were just holding it in the other hand. You're like,
that's about right. Yeah. And I've sort of gotten the same way, where there's a shorthand or a laziness on brew day, where I wouldn't say it's laziness. I mean, over the years, I've found out what matters and what doesn't.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, I don't take pH measurements anymore.
Yeah,
I've never done
that. Because I'm using the same water, and I'm using the same ingredients and everything, so I kind of know what to expect already, because I've taken measurements in the past, and nothing ever changed, right?
Yeah.
So why bother taking measurements anymore? You don't need to, so stop that. Okay, so...
But now you're moving.
Well, so. Now gravity measurements. I don't take gravity measurements anymore either. I just... put my recipe together, assuming that I'm going to get, 60% efficiency or whatever. And I'm within a point or two, who fucking cares? What's the difference? It's too late when you measure anyways. You're done for the day, so who gives a shit, right? So I just throw it all together and you make beer.
How many times
have
you brewed on your system in your
zillions.
Apartment? And
I was,
you know
zillions.
Exactly what
I can
it
do
it
with
is,
my
right?
eyes closed,
well, I was
right?
going to say, too, can you tell who's the old bitter man?
Who gives a fuck if it's a point or two?
You sound like George Costanza's dad.
I make a beer. If it's 5% or it's 6% or 7%, what's the difference at the end of the day, really?
Yeah,
who cares?
As long
it's
as
a beer.
You can drink it and you're happy?
Yes. As long as it tastes right.
None of you guys are leaving until you pin me to the ground. I'm going to tell you all your faults.
Absolutely.
Now, then again, you get other guys like, and even myself, when I very first started brewing, I was like crazy, like nuts and scientific, where I was measuring everything and writing everything down, and I had a pH meter. And
it explains the wizard beard.
Well, that was one of the guys that taught me. Like, if there was ever a German brewer that made exclusively hazy beers... one of the guys that taught me that I bought my homebrew system off of, Bruce, would have been a great German brewer.
Hazy IPA purity.
But for hazy, yeah. Whatever the hazy, German word.
German word. So Hazgeizebot.
Yeah. He would have been the guy for that. Like
Ryan Hazgobot?
Ryan Hazgobot.
So Ryan Hazgobot.
And still, the
Ryan
best,
Merckxgobot.
the best homebrew beer I've ever made, in my opinion, and that might be nostalgia, was a collaboration with him where we went, okay, what do we want this to taste like?
Right.
And we each, because he used to work for Chilliwack Hop Farms. And
okay.
He was like, okay, so we're going to use this hop blend to get this flavor profile, and then we're going to use these grains, and that's where I learned a lot of, the base of what my hazy experience is, and now I feel like I make a pretty decent hazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you definitely do.
And
decent.
If I'm going to try to pull off some from the camping beer I just made for you guys, because we're kegging a beer to camp with, but I'll see if I can get a couple bottles set aside.
Something tells me that keg might get blown out.
Oh, that keg's not going to last long at all.
You're going to get some other beer on there.
It was not very efficient with the amount of hops I threw into it.
Those cases rarely are. So one of the things I'm looking forward to at my new place is I've actually got a space in the garage where I can set up a brewery and maybe even leave it set up where I don't have to packet it away every time, right? So I'm looking forward to that.
Why would you not just get that set up?
And with that extra space.
I'm retiring!
Right?
I'm getting the space!
And with that extra space, I'm thinking I might be able to brew a little more frequently. Yeah. And, you know.
How big's the driveway?
The driveway fits.
Can you fit a trailer?
I was going to say.
No, can you fit 28? Five cars.
Okay, so you got room for all of us in my parents' trailer. I mean my trailer, I'm rich.
There's also a pullout on the road right in front of our place where you can fit two more. So.
Oh, dude, nice. Me and Cam don't do all pullouts.
Yeah. our track record isn't good.
Wow. Wow.
That was a kid joke.
Oh, Jesus. All right, well, we better wrap this episode up.
All right, well, thanks for tuning in Pacific Beer Chat. If you want to listen to Cam, don't. But if you want to follow us on any platform, we're at Pacific Beer Chat on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, if you want to email us for any podcast needs or setting up one,
hit us up.
We're at... info@pacificbeerchat.com.
Jordan, feedback.
Fuck off, Mike, @pacificbeerchat.com. Or you can just email me, the guy that answers the emails, Jordan@pacificbeerchat.com.
Yeah. Yes. And if you'd like to find us on our Facebook group, it's a great group. It's craft beer on the Pacific Coast and beyond.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you have a great beer, post it there for everybody to see.
And it doesn't have to be from the Pacific Coast. It's just...
and beyond.
Based on that. And beyond, right?
And it doesn't have to be macro.
Just don't post the Budweiser.
If you've got a fucking epic gin you want to post on there, put the fucking epic gin on there. If you want to post a rum you've got that's really tasty, I don't give a shit.
We support we love local booze. Economy.
I'm also going to say that we will be attending...
Vancouver Craft Beer Week.
Yes. And if there's anybody you want to hear us interview, we'll be in early.
Please let us know. We have access to all the brewers. We will be hitting them up.
Also, if you are a home brewer and you'd like to come on a homebrew episode.
Absolutely.
And talk about your beer.
We need a guest.
And like all of us, take constructive criticism if there's any to take. Because you've got to be able to take constructive criticism when you're being a home brewer.
You talk shit to me, I'm fighting.
That's why he's not brewing. But no, if you want to be involved with this, come on, share your beer.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know, because we would love to have you on, because it's nothing's more fun than trying someone else's beer.
Yep.
Or if you'd be interested in being a host and joining us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, we're always depends open. What you look like. If you're cute and shit,
you need a face for radio.
I like fucking ugly guys with beards.
God.
Wow. Well, that's who I'm sitting with.
Wow.
A face for radio and a voice for silent film.
That's Jordan.
Hey, man. My wife said the same thing.
No. If you would love to come on the show and just be part of the show, let us know, too, because...
For sure.
I mean,
well, these homebrews episodes get silly too. So if you want to come have fun, joke around,
we'd love to have some homebrews.
Yeah, and
not
I mean,
say anything racist.
Yeah, no. And I mean, with Warren moving to the island, he probably won't be on his every episode, unfortunately.
Sure. Thank God.
So, if you want to join us, let us know, because we probably could use another host coming up one of these days. So let us know. Cheers.
Cheers. We out.
Peace.
Cheers. Cheers, ding dong.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.